Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. The fall TV season is right around the corner, and HBO and Netflix are tearing it up these days with all kinds of hit series. And I'm talking about series like Breaking Bad that has three-quarters of my household absolutely entranced. I like it for the most part. We'll find out what the hot new shows are supposed to be this fall, why the networks don't have their collective acts together these days, and what the departure of Kansas City's own Jason Sudeikis means for Saturday Night Live. But first this hour, let's go to the zoo. About 2,000 zoo professionals from across the planet are in town for this week's annual convention of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. The convention's in Kansas City and is expected to give the Kansas City Zoo a big boost. Here to talk about the state of the zoo these days and around the country are two leaders of this group joining us from Barrow Hall. Randy Wistoff is the director of the Kansas City Zoo. Randy, nice to have you again. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Nice to be with you.
Jim Maddy's also with us. He's director of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. Jim, welcome and welcome to Kansas City.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, give me a sense, Randy, why is this conference being held in Kansas City? Why here?
Well, a lot of reasons. The primary one is we felt the timing was right to throw our hat in the ring to try to get this conference. Competition is heavy for this, as Jim will tell you. A lot of zoos want this organization to come to their town to see their zoo. And then for me, Steve, I do sit on the CVA board, and I know how important the convention business is to Kansas City. And it just timing was right to try to bring 2,000 folks to town and, you know, the great economic impact that that will have.
Jim Maddy, what's your take? Why is this convention being held in our town this week?
Well, it's the commitment to the zoo. Kansas City, the voters in the two-county area, all the people of Metro Kansas City, they're enthusiastic about their zoo. They're supporting it. They're putting their some public resources into it as well as their private participation. Kansas City Zoo has made millions of dollars in capital improvements in the last few years, and there's construction underway now. We're going to see all that Thursday when we take 2,000 people out there to see all this. But you know, we want to go to places where the community is strongly supportive of their zoo and where the zoo's capital improvement program really provides some exciting things for our guests to see.
You know, let's move back to about 10,000 feet and look at the state of the zoo sort of nationwide right now, Jim Maddy. How are zoos doing across the country? I mean, is attendance up? Is it down? What are you seeing out there across the board?
Well, fortunately, it is pretty uniform across the country that zoos are more popular than they've ever been. It's a good thing because zoos are more important than they've ever been. Everybody who's interested in wildlife and zoos and aquariums understands that that conditions for wildlife habitat globally are not improving. In most of the world, they're actually those conditions are deteriorating. So zoos are more important than they've ever been, and they're more popular than they've ever been, and the business really is thriving.
Randy, how about business at the Kansas City Zoo these days? What's attendance doing out there right now?
Well, you know, over the years, Steve, there's been some pretty low points here with attendance, but we're deep into 2013. We've just experienced last year record attendance, all-time high of 825,000 people. I think we're well on the way to break that again this year. For about the third or fourth year in a row, we're going to be breaking record attendances and doing more people than we've ever had. And especially with our penguin exhibit coming online at the end of October, we really look to have a strong fall season, and then that will carry over into next year. So I can't imagine it's going to be too long before we break that barrier of a million people that visit the Kansas City Zoo.
Randy Wistoff, you know, do TV shows like those, you know, being shown on Animal Planet, what kind of impact do those shows have on attendance numbers and just general interest in zoos these days?
I think they special shows like that, I think, play heavy into kids wanting to learn about animals, care about animals. They want to know more, and I think zoo offers that outlet for young people, old people to come and see an animal firsthand and learn about what's going on Nothing better than getting nose to nose with a polar bear after you've seen something about it on television.
Yeah. So Jim, no question that attendance is up across the country. That's a good thing. So what's the big challenge that challenges that zoos face these days? What's the biggest challenge that's on the horizon for zoos as far as you're concerned?
Well, it's clear to me the biggest challenge is the sustainability of our collections and how they're linked to the sustainability of species.
Meaning that lions and tigers may not be with us 100 years from now.
Well, lions and tigers in captivity, they breed like cats, so they'll be with us. But there are so many species where the numbers in human care, the numbers in zoological institutions are not adequate to maintain a sustainable long-term population, and the conditions in the wild are even more adverse.
Animals like what, Jim? What species are you talking about there?
Lots of the birds, a significant number of the amphibians, and a significant number of mammals as well. There are 20 or so species that only exist in zoological settings because they're extinct in the wild. And but for the efforts, the science-driven efforts of modern zoological institutions, those 20 species would be extinct as well. We're talking about things like the black-footed ferret, the California condor, and many others.
Randy, how big of a concern is that to a director of a zoo like the one here in Kansas City, the fact that some of these animals are simply endangered or disappearing out there?
Well, I think that's always been a concern, and I think, as Jim alluded, in some instances it's getting even worse, trying to maintain our populations in zoos, but also trying to address the larger zoos and even some of the medium-sized smaller zoos are involved in the global conservation efforts and trying to do as much out there in what we call the wild or what's left of it to try and preserve species, help people understand the importance of wildlife, and work with both our captive collections but out there in the real world too. And that's a challenge budgetarily and staffing-wise to jump in and try to handle all of that while you're trying to maintain a good zoo in your hometown.
Randy, which animals are you most worried about these days that might be disappearing and that folks in Kansas City 30, 50 years from now may never see?
Well, Steve, I think an awful lot of those animals are in our current collection.
All right.
We just recently acquired an Amur leopard. That I think there's only 40 of them left in the wild. So for all intents and purposes, those animals are going to be extinct in the wild. We've got the Sumatran tigers, the gorillas, orangutans, chimpanzees, kind of on and on with species that habitat encroachment. Orangutans are in pretty bad shape. Polar bears, there are quite a few out there right now, but kind of what's going on with reproductive rates and habitat, they're going to be in worse trouble here before too long. So I think we're concerned just about everything, but a lot of those animals that we have at the zoo give people an opportunity to see up close what those animals look like, learn about them, and maybe connect with some of the programs that we're undertaking here at our zoo.
Yeah. We're talking about zoos this morning. There's a big convention taking place in Kansas City at the convention of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. 2,000 zoo professionals from all across the planet are in town this week meeting at Bartle Hall. Jim Meddy, I want to just touch on zoo design these days. I gather that cages and small enclosures are very much a thing of the past across the board. Do I have that right, or is there still some of that out there?
Well, there's still some of that out there, but in accredited zoos, like the Kansas City Zoo, the biggest, best zoos around the country, exhibits are required to be naturalistic. That's an accepted part of modern zoological practice. And these are science-driven institutions. So we do endocrinology, we do blood work, we do careful behavior studies, you know, driven by well-trained scientists, and that, all of that gain in knowledge, all of that additional understanding goes into the design of these exhibits. So as close as possible, we can achieve levels of well-being, levels of animal welfare, levels of animal health that meet and often exceed what you find in the wild.
Yeah.
A lot of zoo specimens are the species that we display in zoos have a longer, healthier life when they have veterinarians, keepers, and regular diets as opposed to it's a jungle out there.
You know, Randy Wistoff, I'm wondering what zoos are doing these days to try to attract and showcase their animals, attract more visitors. What are two or three of the big trends you're seeing out across the country right now, Randy?
Well, I think an awful lot of this habitat recreation, trying to show an animal in kind of its normal, natural setting.
Like what we see at the Kansas City Zoo, you're saying?
Yeah, like our polar bear exhibit, and like you'll see when we open the penguin exhibit, I think that's kind of the preferred way to exhibit animals. People like seeing them that way. But I think we had a great speaker this morning at our opening session, Steve, that talked about technology and the use of that and how audiences of the future, we're really on a dirt path, an awful lot of us, in addressing the technology needs and where we're going to go, that finding ways for people to connect maybe with satellite link-ups and live wow. camera things going on somewhere on the planet that you can link up while you're at your local zoo. So I think with your smartphones and all the electronic stuff today, so I think that's a challenge to us, not only exhibiting the animal, but using technology, understanding what families are looking for now as they're spending their recreation dollars. Of course, we're trying to educate people and teach them about conservation, but an awful lot of people just come to the zoo for recreation purposes. So we've got to make sure we're taking care of that and addressing that and just enhancing the visit in more than just animal exhibit design.
Yeah. You know, Jim Meddy, how is technology changing the zoo? And how are zoos going to look 50 years from now compared to today? What are we going to see happening out there?
Well, the communications technology is changing zoos enormously every year. I'll give just one very simple example. It used to be years ago you'd go to the zoo and there'd be a sign somewhere saying, if you see a problem, if you see someone misbehaving or an area where they're not supposed to be, call this number. Now it's just you pick up your cell phone, you take a picture of it, and you flash that to the zoo office. The technology that's really impacting us the most, though, is the science of animal welfare, with animal care, nutrition, animal medicine. We've made so many advances in this area that now we're much more confident that the diets that we're able to provide these animals are the proper diet for the individual species. We exhibit over 6,000 species of the terrestrial and aquatic animals in these institutions, and every single one of them has a different diet. Koalas only eat eucalyptus leaves, and peccaries do not eat eucalyptus leaves, and it goes on from there for 6,000 different species.
Randy Wistoff, how is technology changing your zoo here in Kansas City?
Well, I think right now with some of our electronic displays in our exhibits, using monitors and getting messages across in different ways, I think you'll see a lot of advancement in that area. And then I think, Steve, the use of Facebook and social media, it's here, it's been here for a while, using that, informing our guests, asking people questions about the zoo, getting feedback immediately helps us in a day-to-day operations mode that is kind of unbelievable and really unheard of just a very few short years ago. So I think that's expansion areas for us, having the mobile apps. People can get an app when they come to the zoo, and they've got the map and when our animal demonstrations are.
Wow.
So I think that's a growing trend, and I think, as fast as this stuff comes at us now, something will probably be here in a year that takes the place of tweeting. and we just have to stay on top of that and make sure that we're addressing all the people. All the young families out there are Facebook fans.
Energy technology is another area where there's tremendous progress. We've got somebody
on our staff that's what they do, is take care of social media.
Right. You go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But energy technology is another area where zoos are really in the forefront. Accredited zoos in the U.S. and Canada will draw nearly 200 million guests on an annual basis. And it's a wonderful place to demonstrate the utility of solar power, of water conservation technologies, and energy conservation technologies. And so we are very strongly encouraging accredited zoos, our member zoos, to green their institutions, to reduce their energy use, reduce their use of water and other resources, and not only in doing that, improve the efficiency and the economy of their operations, but demonstrate to that very, very large audience things that can be replicated in homes, businesses, and communities around the country.
Randy Wistoff, just one final question here. What do you hope? I noticed that one of the sessions at this conference this week sort of focuses on this idea of what you want visitors to get out of an experience of visiting the zoo. You know, what do you want visitors to walk away with that goes beyond just the fact they've seen some cool animals? What do you want the takeaway to be?
Well, I think a connection is what we're looking for, Steve, that they come in, they see an animal, they feel good about it in the setting that they're in the zoo. They want to learn more about it. We might have some accompanying graphics about conservation and what people can do at home to conserve and what we're doing. So I think really making a connection with families and wild animals.
I want to thank Randy Wistoff, director of the Kansas City Zoo, and Jim Maddy, director of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. Jim, have a great conference in Kansas City. Randy, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.